The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, what a weird-ass weekend of football. That's for sure. We had some weird scores. We had some weird plays. We had some weird wins. A couple of wins that I found extremely amusing because two teams lost that lost to some pretty shitty teams, and they were pretty goddamn good, but we'll get to that when we get to that. But they were pretty hilarious to me. But, you know, as the saying goes, any given Sunday, man, whoever shows up can win. And I mean, it's either team that can win. I mean, you think one team's terrible and you think the other team's great. And just sometimes that's not the way it works out. It's just the guys on the field make all the difference. And sometimes it's your day and sometimes it's not. So let's get right into week six of the NFL, beginning over in London. It is the final London game of the season. And then they will be heading to Frankfurt, Germany for a couple of games next month. But the last London game ended up being the Baltimore Ravens at the Tennessee Titans. And it was actually a really close battle for the most part. I mean, Lamar Jackson had another great game. He passed for 223 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Derrick Henry also had a great game as well, 12 carries for 97 yards and a touchdown. But the Baltimore Ravens ended up getting the close win, 24-16. Ryan Tannehill did leave the game. He did something to his ankle. They haven't announced really what happened, but he basically left the game. I can't remember if it was the second quarter, third quarter, but he left in the middle of the game and did not come back. So we'll see if that ends up being something, because, you know, they actually didn't look terrible with him in the game. It looked like it was going to be a real good game, and then Malik Willis got in the game as the backup quarterback for the Titans, and it really just started to slip away from them. The Baltimore Ravens defense really held it down, and Baltimore got the big win over in London. Then we had the Washington Commanders at the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, this went about as expected just because they're two terrible-ass teams. So, I mean, it was expected to be close, and it was close. Well, I mean, not the score was close, but overall, it was mostly all Commanders from start to finish. They did get the win 24-16. This actually is the first loss that Falcons quarterback Desmond Ridder has actually ever lost as a starting quarterback as the Falcons, and also in college, his first loss ever at home. He's never lost a home game ever in his entire career, so this was it against the Commanders, and he had a terrible game. He threw for three interceptions yesterday, and it was just bad. There was a couple of red zone interceptions, and so it was just an overall bad day for him, but just a good day overall for the Washington Commanders offensively. They just really got it going, and they got the win 24-16. Then we had the Minnesota Vikings at the Chicago Bears, and this was a very ugly game, but the Vikings got the win 19-13. Kirk Cousins passed for 181 yards and a touchdown, but Justin Fields on the opposite ends of things here. He ended up dislocating his thumb on his throwing finger. He did not come back into the game, and I believe he's actually going to miss next week as well. So that, as if the season couldn't get worse for the Chicago Bears, it did. And then on top of it, they lost to their division rivals, the Vikings, 19-13. A win that the Vikings really, really needed. It was very, very ugly, but they still got the win. Then we had the Seattle Seahawks at the Cincinnati Bengals. Speaking of ugly wins, this was an ugly win. I mean, this was I was watching this game, and it was a hard-fought battle between two really good defenses. I mean, it came down, obviously, to the final drive, basically, for the Seahawks. They were trying to get the win. It was 17-13 Bengals. And on two drives, the Seahawks were able to get into the red zone, but the Cincinnati Bengals defense just held it down both times. Held them to, turnover on downs. And the Bengals offense, though, very, very stagnant. But, I mean, I think that's more just the Seattle Seahawks defense is really good. And I just think yesterday was one of those days. It was just all defense. And so the Bengals did hold on to get the win 17-13. But it was a battle between both teams. Kenny Walker III, the running back for the Seahawks, he pretty much was the standout offensive player for both teams. He had 62 yards and a touchdown. So that just kind of shows you what kind of a game it was yesterday. I mean, it was really a battle in the trenches. And the Bengals defense really just held it down when they needed to. Those two red zone stands were a thing of beauty if you like to watch some defensive football, which I do. Then we had the San Francisco 49ers at the Cleveland Browns, and this was a hilarious end because the Cleveland Browns ended up getting the win 19-17. They had basically their third-string quarterback in, P.J. Walker. He had 192 yards and two interceptions, so he really wasn't having that amazing of a day. Amari Cooper, though, made some big plays. He ended up with 108 yards receiving, but woo, he made this great catch on the sideline. I just miss him in Dallas. That is for damn sure. But he made some big plays. But the San Francisco 49ers, they fell short. And it was just one of those games where it was just a battle in the trenches, basically, for both teams. Both offenses just really couldn't get it going. And the Niners did have a couple of explosive plays. And then, of course, Deebo Samuel went out with injury. Christian McCaffrey went out with injury. Neither one of them came back. But I will say, man, after the Browns went up 19-17, the Niners had a shot. As a matter of fact, they got in field goal range. Brock Purdy put together a nice, solid drive. Brandon Ayuk made this great run to get them set up into field goal position. But it was a 41-yarder, and those are not gimmies. I mean, really, field goals aren't gimmies anyways. I mean, they miss extra points like no other these days. So it's usually not a gimme, but especially a 41-yarder in Cleveland, bad weather, anything can happen. And guess what? Anything did. It was actually pretty hilarious, in my opinion, because the kicker just kicked it, and you could just see it was just start to veer off, and boom, missed it. And the Cleveland Browns walked away with a huge win. And now the San Francisco 49ers are no longer undefeated. Still looked like a damn good team. Can't even count them out. I would actually call this the classic trap game. You know, Bill Parcells, he used to say it all the time. You don't want your team to be feeling themselves and walk right into the trap game. And the trap game, I believe, for the 49ers was this one. The Cleveland Browns, terrible-ass team. Even if they had their starting quarterback playing, they still were missing Nick Chubb, and they still are just not a good team offensively. Now, defensively, they're pretty goddamn good. But offensively, the Browns are terrible. And, you know, the Niners were probably feeling themselves off of that big-ass win they got last week against the Dallas Cowboys. And this, I feel like, was just kind of one of those classic trap games for the Niners. I'm sure they will bounce back and be fine for the rest of the season. I mean, nobody was going undefeated. Nobody is undefeated. So we'll get to the other losing team who's no longer undefeated, but that'll be it a little bit here. But the 49ers, no longer undefeated. And it doesn't look like the injuries to Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey are going to be like season-ending for sure. It doesn't look like anything like that, but they may miss a game or two, but it didn't look like they were anything serious. Then moving on to the Carolina Panthers at the Miami Dolphins. The Panthers made it interesting in the first quarter. At first, it was like 14-0 Panthers, and you're like, what? What the hell is going on here? Then the second quarter hit, and the Dolphins just went off for 42 straight points. They scored 21 in the second quarter, 7 in the third quarter, and 14 in the fourth quarter. They just went off. Panthers are 0-6. Dolphins are 5-1. Tua went for 262 yards, 3 touchdowns. Raheem Mostert had 115 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. And Tyreek Hill, 163 yards and a touchdown. So the big three had a big game, as usual, and the Dolphins got the big win, 42-21. Like I said, the Panthers made it interesting in the first quarter, but then it just got out of hand from there. Then we had the Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Jaguars pretty much dominated this one from start to finish. I mean, they scored 21 points in the second quarter. I've been waiting for the Jaguars to kind of have their offensive resurgence here, because I know they are capable of being a high-scoring offense. They are. But they just haven't really shown it. Well, they did yesterday. They got the big win, 37-20. Travis Etienne had another big day, 55 yards and 2 touchdowns. Trevor Lawrence made some really, really big plays and some really critical moments as well. And, you know, that's the Jaguars did what they did. They look like a pretty damn good team. And they finally exploded offensively like they should. Then we had the New Orleans Saints at the Houston Texans, and this was a huge surprise. The Texans pretty much dominated this one from the jump. It was tied in the first quarter, but then the Texans just really went off. And C.J. Stroud finally threw for his first interception, but the hilarious thing was is that the defender who intercepted it actually ended up fumbling it, and the Texans still got the ball back. So it didn't even really affect the outcome of the game. C.J. Stroud throwing for his first interception. But I will say, week 6, that's pretty damn good, rookie. So keep up the good work. But the Texans just dominated defensively and just really held it down. They got the big win, 20-13 over the Saints. Derek Carr even had a great day. He had 353 yards through the air at a touchdown and an interception. Chris Olave had a big game, 96 yards. Kamara had a pretty decent game, 68 yards. It's just the Texans' D stepped up in the big moments when they needed to, and they held it down all the way to the end. And the Houston Texans, they're looking okay. I still don't think they're going to be a good team, but I had a feeling they were going to fuck up a few teams' days during the season, and they really did, I feel like, step on the Saints' heart. It's not like I feel like the Saints were overlooking them, but I feel like, you know, the Saints are a good team. I feel like they're a better team than the Texans, just from top to bottom, but the Texans played with a bit more heart, and I just kind of feel like the Texans are going to be that team who just kind of gets these random wins here and there, and they're just going to show that they've got a spark, and they might actually end up being a team that gets pretty good over the next couple of seasons. But with the way the Texans are, we got to let that play out in order to actually take that seriously. Then we had the New England Patriots at the Las Vegas Raiders. This is the weirdest New England Patriots team ever. Now, we all knew dynasties, they always come to an end. You know, I'm a Cowboys fan. I've seen my team be a dynasty. So I'm 38 years old. So when I was growing up in elementary school, the Cowboys never lost. When they lost, I would fucking cry because that's how little they lost. And you know, thankfully I got over that because I would be crying every fucking day of the week, the last, million years. But anyways, so I know what it's like. I've seen, and it takes a long ass, I mean, the Cowboys have never been back since the 90s. So every dynasty falls off at some point. But wow, the Patriots, you know, they still got Belichick as their coach, but this team has careened into the fucking earth. And they lost yesterday to the Raiders. And, you know, it's a close score. And the Raiders got the win 21-17. But it was not a close game. And once again, Mac Jones looked terrible. This dude keeps throwing interceptions for pick sixes. And he did it again in this game. And then he had a safety. This guy, you know, you can't always just blame it on him because he doesn't have any weapons at receiver. So you can't blame that factor on him. But he is continuously making the same dumb bonehead pass. I mean, he's done it now, 3-4 weeks in a row? That's a problem, obviously. And so I don't know if we're going to be seeing Mac Jones a lot more for the rest of the season, but it's just a really, really weird thing to see the Patriots be this bad. Now, I'm not complaining about it. I mean, they're 1-5. And like I keep saying, the worse they are, the better off they are in the draft. And they need all the offensive help they can get, even outside of quarterback. They need so much help offensively. It's just bad. And by the way, shocker, here's a real shocker for y'all. Jimmy Garoppolo left the game with an injury. I know that's something new. We've never heard that one before. But he did leave the game yesterday with injury. So the Raiders weren't even playing with their starting quarterback, and they still pretty much dominated the Patriots. Now, defensively, the Raiders are looking pretty damn good. Offensively, still a lot of questions, but McDaniels was able to get the win over Belichick, and that's one of the first times that Belichick's ever lost to one of his proteges. So this Patriots team is just, they're setting records for being just horrible right now. And it's only week six, y'all. So the Patriots fans got a long season ahead of them. Then we had the Arizona Cardinals at the Los Angeles Rams, and this went as expected. The Rams stomped the Cardinals into the ground 26-9, and man, they are getting some production from this new running back, Kyren Williams. He had 158 yards and a touchdown. This guy is just mashing it up. This is exactly what the Rams have needed for years now, a really good, consistent running back. They found him. And then Cooper Kupp had his breakout game of the season. He had 148 yards and a touchdown yesterday. So a good way to get right is to play the Arizona Cardinals, unless you're my Dallas Cowboys, of course. But the Rams got the huge win 26-9, and the Cardinals still are terrible. Then we had the Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Jets. This was another game that put a huge smile on my face. That is because the Jets got the win. And so, like I said, there are no more undefeated teams anymore because the Eagles were the only remaining undefeated team heading into the afternoon after the Niners loss, and they lost to the Jets 20-14. Now, first of all, give it up to this Jets defense. Man, they are really fucking good. It actually sucks for them that Aaron Rodgers got injured, because the Jets would be a really good team if they had some offense. It's so hard to watch a Jets game, and they're on a primetime a lot this season because they expected Aaron Rodgers to be starting every game, and they knew that would be a primetime draw, but unfortunately now we're watching this terrible offense, and they are terrible. Even though they got the win 20-14 yesterday, this defense is why they got the win. I mean, they forced Jalen Hurts just to throw three terrible interceptions. I mean, Jalen Hurts is not really known for throwing interceptions. Last year, that's why he was so damn good, because he kept the interceptions down. This season, he's been chucking them up, and yesterday was really, really bad. So this defense was getting at him. I will say, A.J. Brown, he went off. He had over 131 yards receiving. And so that's what I mean is with this Jets team, they had so many opportunities to score more points, and they just couldn't, because like their offense can kind of get it going just a little bit, but then they just fall completely short and have to either get the field goal, just go for the field goal, or they end up having to punt. And they're just so hard to watch, because it's like you watch them inch, and then they just fail. And then the defense has to go back out there and then get an interception. And if they don't score the points, chances are the offense is only going to get 3 points, or if even that. So good for the Jets to get the win. I mean, like I said, their defense is looking really damn good, but their offense is just so difficult to watch. But it was really fun to watch the Eagles lose yesterday, because they did. They had the lead for the majority of the game. Then the second half rolled around, and they completely disappeared off the face of the earth. And the Jets were just able to score the points, get the win, and their defense just held it down. And we have zero undefeated teams left in the league this year. Then we had the Detroit Lions at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And man, the Lions look for real. At least so far this season, they do. They annihilated the Buccaneers 20-6. Jared Goff had 353 yards through the air and two touchdowns. Amon-Ra St. Brown had 124 yards receiving and a touchdown. And this team defensively held it down. The Bucs only scored 6 points. So, I mean, that says a lot. The Lions are 5-1 and actually looking really, really damn good. And then Sunday Night Football, the New York Giants at the Buffalo Bills. This actually was shockingly not an ass-kicking. I expected the Bills to run away with this one, but, man, they could not get it going offensively for the first three quarters. They actually didn't score their first points until the fourth quarter. It was tough to watch. And the Giants' defense just really kept them in check. But what was even more tough to watch was their offense. Their offense was terrible. They had this one sequence of events right before halftime. They were able to at least walk away with 3 points, and they just completely blew all the clock management, and it just ended up not working out for them. And they literally got all the way to the one-yard line, and they could have easily scored 3 points. Easily. Just completely blew it, walked away with 0 points. And that was pretty much like the defining... kind of like the defining play of the game. And really, the Giants had another chance at the end. They were basically at the exact same point, and they threw the ball in the air, and it was a terrible pass. Nobody was ever going to get it. I know everybody's this morning, of course, upset over officiating in a few of the games, but most notably last night's game. First of all, I always hate people who complain about officiating. Yes, it sucks when they get calls wrong, but guess what? Human error is a part of it, and there's many, 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 many other plays you could point to as to how your team could have won, and it's not always on the fucking ref. Yes, they make terrible calls, but you know what? That's the name of the game. But I'm going to keep it real with you. The first pass interference call, I wish they wouldn't have called it. The last play of the game, and this is just me, unless it's the most egregious pass interference of all time. And I mean, like, you have to be shoving the dude. He's about to catch the ball, and the cornerback is shoving the dude out of the way. That's what should be called. But I don't think that first one should have been called. But it was. Got him right up to the one-yard line. They had, 2 seconds left to go. So they toss up the ball to Waller again, and people are bitching and complaining, hey, with pass interference, and it really wasn't. He had no way he was catching that ball. It was a terrible pass. It wasn't anywhere near him, but everybody's so fucking upset about it, like that was the defining play. It's like, no, there were many other times the Giants could have actually done something. By the way, the Giants haven't scored a touchdown in like 3 games. So how about that one, Giants fans? Why don't you get mad at that shit? But anyways, the Bills did get the win, 14-9. And it was weird. It was a weird game because, you know, the Bills, you know, they got beat by the Jaguars. They got beat by the Jets. They've just had these really, really weird games. I mean, really the only game you look at so far that they've played where you're like, damn, they really just dominated, was pretty much that Dolphins game, which, hey, they beat the Dolphins, which is a good team. But they just are having a very, very odd season offensively so far. I wouldn't be shocked if they get it together, though, but they've just had some weird games, but hey, they got the win, and that's all that matters. Moving on to Monday Night Football, we have my Dallas Cowboys at the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now, the Cowboys are a 1.5-point favorite. I think both of these teams are pretty much equally balanced. You know, they've got the offensive weapons. I think the Cowboys are better defensively, of course, but I mean, Khalil Mack just had 6 sacks in the last game he played in, so I kind of feel like the Cowboys better be ready for a pretty solid pass rush, at least coming from him. But I do think the Cowboys, they tend to bounce back from terrible losses, and I do expect them to bounce back in this one. I do think it's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be dominated by either team. Actually, I wouldn't be shocked if it's kind of one of those walk-off field goal wins for the Cowboys, but I do have the Cowboys winning 27-24. Moving on to playoff baseball, man. The ALCS started last night, and these Texas Rangers, they ain't nothing to fuck with, y'all. I'm telling you, Bruce Bochy is that dude. He keeps even surprising me. I don't know how I'm surprised by anything that Bruce Bochy does with this squad. I don't know. The dude won 3 World Series for my San Francisco Giants. How am I surprised by what you're doing, Bruce? But this guy, he's got this team believing in themselves, and they beat Houston in home 2-0 last night. Now, Verlander pitched last night, and he didn't pitch bad. He just made a couple mistakes and just wasn't able to get the offensive backing from his batting order. Jordan Montgomery, though, for the starting pitcher for the Rangers, he pitched a gem. Didn't allow shit last night. This guy has been money during the playoffs. And you know what? It's crazy because, like, you know, with DeGrom and Scherzer suffering the injuries they've had to suffer. And, you know, you felt like DeGrom was going to be the dude. Then he got injured, was out for the season. So then they trade for Scherzer. You think this guy's going to be the dude. Nope. Then you've got Yavaldé, who's been the dude all season long. And then all of a sudden, here comes this Jordan Montgomery character. And he has, not only he had a really solid regular season, but the playoffs for him, this dude is money. And he was money last night. And the two scores came in from Haim and Tavares. And right now, game two is on. It is the top of the third inning, 5-1 Texas. This team ain't nothing to fuck with. And Framber Valdez is pitching for the Astros today. So that's one of the best pitchers in the league. And he got lit up like right off the bat. I think it was the first pitch right before I started recording is when it started. And the freaking first pitch, guys are getting on base. And after the first inning, it was 4-0. So congrats to Houston for scoring some points. And I mean, it's only the third inning, so they've got plenty of time. But I don't know, man. The Texas Rangers might actually be a team of destiny. That's just kind of how they're looking right now in the playoffs. So we have game two of the ALCS, like I said, going on right now as I speak. Game one of the NLCS begins tonight between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Philadelphia Phillies. All right, so let's move on to my NBA season predictions. Going to be breaking down each division and who I think is going to be winning each division, making the playoffs, and ultimately who I think is going to win the NBA championships this season. So let's get started off in the Western Conference, in the Southwest Conference. Who I think is going to win this division, the same team that's been winning this division, and that's the Memphis Grizzlies. They are starting the season off with no Ja Morant, and I feel like that is going to be an issue to start, but, you know, they did pick up some nice veterans. First of all, I feel like the addition of Marcus Smart is huge. He's going to be great for them defensively, and they're already a really solid defensive team. So I think the addition of Marcus Smart is great on the defensive side of things, but also from a leadership side here. You know, he was the heart and soul, in my opinion, of the Boston Celtics. I was really shocked they ended up getting rid of him. But now I think he's going to take over a leadership role here with the Grizzlies, and I think he's going to set them on the right course. So I think he's going to kind of take over and get them some really solid wins until Ja gets back. And then, of course, they signed Derrick Rose as well. You know, he's old as the hills, twice as rusty, but he still has it in him. He's still a very solid player. So he's going to fill in for now. Obviously, the big issue with him is injuries, of course. But we are starting off the season, so maybe he'll be able to make it until Ja gets back. But I do think the Grizzlies are still one of the best teams. And, you know, Ja's been very, very quiet this offseason. It seems like he's keeping his nose clean, at least for now. And hopefully he does, because he's a great player. I don't want to see him ruin his career over dumb shit. And I just want to see him, you know, dominate the fucking league like he should. So I think the Grizzlies still are going to be a really good team, even though they're probably going to struggle for like the first month without Ja. Then I have the Dallas Mavericks finishing in second place in the Southwest Conference. For me, I love Luka Doncic. I want this dude to succeed. I want to see him in the playoffs so bad because, you know, he's made the playoffs, but he doesn't have a good team. And unfortunately, my problem with them is still Kyrie. You never know what you're going to get from this dude over the last, like, what, 5, 6 years? All he has been a distraction to his team. Now, he hasn't started anything just yet. He's not demanding any type of trades or anything. But when is he going to start chirping about something? When is he going to have an issue? The dude just constantly tears apart locker rooms. So it's really difficult for me to actually think the Mavs are going to take that next step with Kyrie. I'm sure they're going to probably get some good regular season wins with him. But I just don't think they just have to prove it to me. I'm just going to have to see them do it on the court for me to actually believe in it. Luka's not the problem. Luka's the dude. I would love to see him win a championship just because he's just that good of a player. But with Kyrie on the team, it's really difficult for me to even trust that they're going to be a championship caliber team. Then finishing in third place in the Southwest Division, I had the New Orleans Pelicans. For me, with the Pelicans, it's their health. That's been their issue basically since they drafted Zion. Because Zion and Brandon Ingram are both ballers. They are both excellent players, and when they are on, they are on. And I feel like this Pelicans team could be really, really fucking good. But we just haven't been able to see their potential because every single year, Zion not only gets injured, but it's always a terrible injury where he's gone for the rest of the season. It can't be just one of those. Like, at least as a Lakers fan, we've got Anthony Davis. Dude always gets injured. At least with him, for the most part, it's like a month, maybe. It's usually not for the entire season. With Zion, it's like every time, it's like the entire season he gets injured. And then Brandon Ingram is just like always getting injured. But when they're healthy, both of them, they're so damn good. So for me, with the Pelicans, I'm going to have to see if these two could stay healthy. If they can, I think they're going to be one of the most competitive teams in the league. It's just the health is an issue. It's always been an issue. And until it's not, I can't really trust you. Then I believe the San Antonio Spurs are going to finish in fourth place in the Southwest Division. Obviously, the addition of Victor Wembanyama is huge. He's already looking phenomenal in the preseason game so far. So obviously, he's going to be a huge draw for fans to come out to San Antonio Spurs games. But other than that, I'm not expecting much from the Spurs. They don't have much of a team surrounding him. It's pretty much the chump squad around him. So I'm kind of expecting it to be another really bad year for the Spurs, but at least they're going to have something to see with Victor Wembanyama. And finishing out the Southwest division, I have the Houston Rockets. I know a lot of people are expecting Ime Udoka to come right in and just change everything around for Houston. And what they don't realize is that the team he took over in Boston was actually already a really good team. It's not like he took over some shit squad in Boston. I mean, for Christ's sake, Jason Tatum was already on the team. So he had a good-ass team when he took over the Boston Celtics. Coming over to Houston, you are getting, like, the worst-ass team. And I'm sorry, Fred VanVleet is not going to save you. He's a good player, but he ain't it. So I just kind of feel like it's going to be a really bad year for the Rockets. And I don't see, there's no really good players on their team other than VanVleet. And that guy's not going to get you to the playoffs alone. Moving on over to the Eastern Conference and the Central Division. I have the Bucks winning this division. I think the addition of Damian Lillard just puts them above basically everybody in the East. I think they're going to be the best team in the league, as a matter of fact. You know, they've already got Giannis. Giannis is an MVP. He's a champion. And he's still one of the best players in the league. In my opinion, he's still a top five player in this league, if not top one. You know, I mean, I haven't thought about who I think is the best player in the league. I mean, you probably got to put Jokic up there. But Giannis is something else. He's difficult to guard. He's great in the paint. He's gets you rebounds. He's great defensively. He's just an all-around excellent player. So I think him and Lillard, I don't know how you're going to stop the both of them. You might be able to stop one of them, but you ain't stopping both of them. And Lillard has been known to go off. This guy drops points like it's no other. And then also, you have Chris Middleton as well. So I kind of feel like they've got a big three right there with Lillard, Giannis, and Middleton. They've got the offense, they've got the defense, and they've got the championship pedigree because Giannis and Middleton, they already know what it's like to win a championship. They've been there. Lillard, he's been a great player. He just has not had any opportunities to really show it in the postseason. So I think this is going to be the first year that he gets to do that. And I think the trade to the Bucks is probably the best move for not only him, but for the Bucks as well. I think this just makes them one of the top teams, not only in the East, but also in the entire league as a whole. Then I believe the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to finish in second place in the Central Division. I just feel like they're going to improve and just become a better team with Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, and Jarrett Allen. They didn't make a lot of moves in the offseason, but I just kind of feel like looking at them, you know, Mitchell, he went off multiple times last year. And Garland and Allen they're two young cats who I just feel like fit right in with Mitchell. And I just think they're going to get it going and pick right up where they left off last year and actually become a more improved team and probably a playoff team as well. Then finishing in third place in the Central Division, I have the Chicago Bulls. You know, they've got a pretty solid squad with DeMar DeRozan, Alex Caruso, LaVine, and Vucevic, but they just have never been able to put it together. And so until they can actually put it together, I really can't believe in this team. They seem to get some really good wins. They seem to go on some really good runs. Actually, the last couple of seasons, they've actually started off the beginning of the season really hot and then just completely fallen off after the All-Star break. And they just are not a legit team that anybody takes as a legit contender. Even though DeRozan is an excellent player, he's a good leader. I don't see anything wrong with him. It's just for some reason, this Bulls team is never able to put it together and really find an identity. So we'll see if they're able to do that this season. Now that pretty much that entire core four right there that I mentioned, they've now worked with each other for at least a year, and so maybe they will gel a little bit more and actually become a legitimate team this year. Then finishing in fourth place in the Central Division, I have the Indiana Pacers. You know, they're not a terrible team, but they don't have a lot going on. It kind of looks like at some point, Buddy Hield is going to get traded, and he's pretty much their best player. Well, he's their second best player behind Halliburton. Halliburton obviously had an excellent season last year, so I expect him to do the same this year. But, you know, the rumors about Buddy Hield getting traded have been going on since last year, and usually if that's the case, you're probably going to get traded at some point. And I kind of feel like the Pacers are going to be one of those up-and-down squads that might, at the trade deadline, kind of want to make some type of moves, and he might be it. So the Pacers, not expecting a lot from them this season. And then rounding out the Central Division, I have the Detroit Pistons. They're just an overall terrible team. They don't have any stars. They don't really have anything going on. So not much to say about them. So I've got them being a bottom-of-the-barrel team yet again this season. So that's how I feel like the Southwest and Central Divisions are going to shake out this season. We will round it out with the last two Western and Eastern Conference Divisions on Friday's show. But until then, enjoy the rest of that playoff baseball. Enjoy the rest of the football we got this week. And I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.